Oh, praise the Lord. Another Sunday, another week, and the Lord's good. There's, I went through many passages this morning. There's one that, there's quite a few things that had struck me in these passages, especially throughout the week. And one, I want to go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, verse 12. And it says, "Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it." And I was looking at this, and I was looking at the New Testament and how many times Paul in his letters talking about establishing not his own righteousness, but he counted that as dung. But it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ and what he has done that saves our life, that gives us life. You know, I tell you what, I've went through this. There's been adjustments at work. There's been adjustments, and it's been a good week. And it's been one of turning things around and going in a forward motion, finding out what that is that the Lord would have me there to do, and to seeking that diligently to go do it. But in all that, and I praise the Lord that the Lord is turning that situation around and things are going in a forward motion. But in all that, I have none to glory in other than what Jesus Christ is doing. And that's it. Man, as soon as the righteous trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all that righteousness is forgotten. Because it's not ever what the person can do. It's always about what Jesus is able to do. Man, our testimonies come from what Jesus has done. Our testimonies is what Jesus has put together. And that struck me. And the same goes, and it turns around, and again when I say, and in verse 14, again when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. If he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walked in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. I mean, look at the beauty in that. I mean, here we're in Ezekiel. This is the Old Testament. But when we come to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, He washes all that away. Blotting the handwritings of ordinances that was against us. Relying on the sufficiency of what He has done for us. That's how we all came to the Lord. With a big charge against us. Something that we could not escape. But the Lord washed all that away. If we would just but receive it. And I look and I was looking and I want to turn to I also want to turn to, I think, Luke 8. And I want to start at verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? I'm so glad the disciples asked that, and it's in the book. Because if I would have read it without somebody telling me it, I'd go, what does that mean? But praise God. And not only that, I had people preach on this many times to me. So praise the Lord. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. What you understand is here, and this, there's two different things. There's one the sowers are sowing, but what I want to go to is the word of God that's being sown and we being the ground. And we being the ground. And you've seen this before. When you go and preach the gospel to somebody, and then for that one moment they go, and their eyes light up. But as soon as that conversation's over, they've gone off. Didn't sink into their hearts. But they left. You know what? I've been that one. Where I had the gospel preached to me and I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And walked away and did my own thing. Let's go to the next one. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. Guess what? You've seen that before. The word of God is being preached on them. The gospel is being preached to them. And when they first hear it, man, they're joy. They're on fire, man. They're ready to go out and, man, they could take on anything. But a little bit of trouble hits. A little bit of tribulation hits. Things get rough. That bubble pops. Doubt fills in and they take off. Guess what? I've been that ground. And they that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Another scripture it says, and this is really sticks in my mind when Ricky was preaching this, but it says, becometh unfruitful, and I think that's in another gospel. That means for a time they were fruitful. There was a time that they were going forward. But the cares of this life start to enter in. Start to worry, start to doubt. Situation happens. Your trust starts to not become on Jesus anymore. And then there's no more fruit. Guess what? I've been that ground. Guess what? I've been that ground this week. A more than once. Heck, this morning. And it's one, I remember I was talking with Steve, and I was telling him, man, I was like, all these things are kind of coming at me. I'm getting freaked out, getting concerned, getting worried. Scripture tells us not to be careful for nothing but trust in the Lord. And I realize, as I look back, of how good the Lord is. And as the forward motion and the forward progress and the things that happen, which are good, is to His glory, there was nothing that I have done to cause that to happen. But look toward my Savior and what He has done and what He can do. And when I look to my Lord and Savior and see what He can do, that's what I can put my trust in. That's who I put my trust in. And then He goes about to perform it. And then those things where I think I cannot stand in, I go, Lord, I can't stand in this. Lord, I can't stand in this. I know You can't, Philip. But I can. But I can, so trust Me. I'm in You and You're in Me, so trust Me. Don't worry about it. I'm with You. So stand in that. Yes, sir, no problem. I can do that. We're talking about God who created heaven and earth. Who created us for His good pleasure. Who loved us enough to come down off His throne and die for us. Oh, I can trust Him. And you can trust Him. And when it comes to the end of the resolve, all we can turn around and do is say, praise the Lord, You're good. Because it was Him that worked those things out. It was Him that got through those situations. It was Him that held us our feet to the ground that we could stand in the middle of the storm. Lord is good. But they on the good ground, they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You know, that good ground, that's something, that is a choice that we simply choose to trust. And the Lord. In the midst of whatever situation, it seems like it's been a running theme for me this past 3 weeks, I think. Brad was coming, talking about this past Thursday, and it was confessing of his fault of just going back and trying to rely on his own righteousness, what he can be, what he can do to be accepted, and all these things. But really what it boils down to is that he could never be accepted but by the blood of Jesus Christ. But by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when God the Father looks down on you, He sees the Son Jesus. And it's all about what He has accomplished. And when we look at the situations and go around and things go right, let's not dare put a hand on our back and say, oh, I did a good job. No, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that brought you through to that. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that helped you stand through that. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that gave you that love or the ministering to that person that needs to be done. And it's when it's just, we're just happy and we just glory in Him and what He's able to do. And getting things accomplished and getting things to go forward in Him. So as I look around, as things are going forward, you know, I look inside myself. And man, I'm a disaster. I can see just disaster. I mean, I should have a tattoo on my forehead, I think. But the Lord is good. And when I see what He's accomplishing, I go, praise God. Because I know it's all Him. And I know I can trust that more and more every day. Because He's good. Hey, that's all I got.
Really like to have an alcohol bath for this thing. Just so it can get stored so that affliction that is on him does not spread. But we don't have an alcohol bath, alas. So I have to trust the Lord. You know, it's been a lot of time. I really didn't need to see you turn that thing on. It's really distracting. It's been a lot of time not knowing what to do. And as a result of that, I didn't do anything. Over the years, not much has changed. I spent a lot of time working for Walmart and working for Amoco. Coming to a job where I knew what I was going to do and I knew I could do it. Living in the kingdom, however, the one thing that hasn't changed is I wake up every day without a clue. I'm called on to do stuff I don't know how to do all the time. In some cases, it's the same thing. Over and over again. But the difference is, I've learned the Lord shows up. And you know, I was really meditating a little bit on the Word this morning. And the thing that hit me was, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And how really true that is. And how really good the Lord is. Because you're not... You don't get into a place where you can get puffed up over a success because it wasn't anything had didn't have to do with you at all. And the only thing it can be presumptive is how good the Lord is and how faithful He is to show up when you're doing His thing. He's going to show up and show up and show up. And He's going to take a thing you have no idea how to do and he's going to work it out so that it benefits somebody else, because that's what he does. It's his way. And like, you know, Phil was talking about it, it's not any glory to you. It's just another example of how good he is. And it is an example for those under us that they can cleave to. If they don't learn anything else, they can learn by my example. And others over them. Heaven forbid I should even say those words. The example is that we trust and believe that the Lord's going to show up. And the experience factor kicks in because you see it happen over and over again. And you see that the Lord's faithful. But I am still trying to maneuver the depth perception on these glasses. It's terrible. The passage that Phil read out of Luke ends with a couple interesting verses. Actually, the last three verses are interesting. No man, when he have lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but set it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seem to have. If you've been a partaker if you've come to light and that light of hope has shined, and illuminated the truth to you, and perhaps even from you to others, that light that'll make manifest that even in from that point of first illumination onward. Yeah, you know, I'm never really sure whether this is a promise or a threat. But everything's going to be made known. And you just need to trust that you're going to get everything you need so that you can take that light out so other people can see it and profit from it. The light of truth. If you think you can get along with hiding it, it's not going to work out so well. You think you can, there's just, you get to a place where you've got a thing. And you can take that thing now and that thing makes you all right. And it's just not the case. thinking about the corn, right? That the corn go into the ground and die. You don't get any fruit. You hold on to that corn. I got that corn now, buddy. Worked hard for that corn. I have arrived. You'll never profit from the fruitful increase of that corn until you throw it out there. Throw it out there, just like the word. Throw it out there. Throw it out there. The seed. Sow the seed. And watch the Lord take care of you. He's good. He wants to. Not anything like all these people think he is. These people that have no knowledge. And they have no knowledge because they choose to be ignorant. Thinking they're not going to be held to account. One other thing that I was running across, I actually started reading in Philippians, and I didn't get too far into it before the truth of the word didn't testify well against me, for me, I should say, did not testify for me. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Come on, Lord, really? This might be a better way. How often have I done that, or has my attitude been that way? I praise God that He doesn't hold that against me. I praise God that He's given me the ability to put that off. I praise God that He yet will still use me at all. Because I don't bring anything to any of this. I really don't. And y'all know that. That you may be blameless. I'm still in 2. 14 is the first one I read, and 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You don't put that light under your bed. You don't hide it from everybody else. You shine it so everybody else can see it. And if you can't shake off for the murmurs and disputations, it's easy for me to say. If you can't put that off, then they're not going to see anything. You're going to be just like everybody else. I really hope that we can spend some time meditating on what we read in Luke, the last 3 verses of that. And the attitude correction that really Philippians is full of. I don't read Philippians long. before I get an attitude adjustment. And I need it. The one thing we need to take from, well, one of the things we need to take from this is we need to be learning how faithful the Lord is, how unyielding and unswerving His commitment is, how total and complete our faith and trust in Him and His provision for us is. He's committed to us that we may learn His ways. He's committed to us that we may know His word. He's committed to us that we may have Him in our midst, especially when we come together two or more. And when we're when our proclamation is the truth of His word, look out for the power. Look out for the power. Because He's committed to His word. I think I'm done. Come on.
You know, Paul, he said that talking about those last three verses for us to be in putting off the murmuring and complaining. And the opposite of murmuring and complaining is gratefulness. And I want all of us to take a look back in the sense of, you know, go forward in the Lord. I mean, don't get me wrong here, but I want us to take a look back on where, what our ways set us to. I mean, I can look around. But I remember where we've been at. All of us. I mean, I'm looking at each face. I remember the struggles. I remember the hardships. I remember these just areas where we just has caused a lot of trouble for ourselves. That was our own way. We did that. And now we can look right now and we can see what the Lord has done for us and how He was actively merciful and graceful and has turned those things around for us to His glory. So that, when, man, when we can take a look at that, when we can honestly take a look at what the Lord has done in each of our lives and has brought us through and had the grace to carry us through, because we wouldn't have put up with our own selves that long. In the sense of, if we were on the other side being in God's position dealing with us, would we? And we look at that and we just the gratefulness that just should just come upon us. That murmuring and complaining should just go poof. So when that murmuring and complaining comes in, man, let's take heed to where the Lord has brought us. And if we can take heed and just look at where the Lord has brought us from where we were, we can just know that we can continue to go forward. Because He hasn't left us to die. He hasn't left us to die. He's leading us to life. Eternal. And that others may come aboard onto that.